Good afternoon, members of the board. I'm Andy Baker from your staff. And I'd like to start out by introducing our, what are you guys? Our friends in restoring water quality, protecting water quality. Mark Lancaster from the five county Salmonid Conservation Program, thank you. And David Kolbeck, he's their new fisheries biologist that just moved from Montana to Weaverville. So, and of course, Sandra Perez is the nuts and bolts for the program. So anyway, we're going to update you on the development of our waiver for county road maintenance activities. So we're going to provide a little background, where we're at with the waiver, our timeline for developing the waiver, and then Mark is going to give us an overview of the 5C program, is what we call it, which is really the foundation for our waiver program. So we're developing a waiver of waste discharge requirements for non-point source discharges associated with county road maintenance activities. The five counties include Del Norte, Humboldt, Mendocino, Siskiyou, and Trinity. I'm trying to, you know, remember. I don't want to read. Okay. So they've been around for a while. 14 years, huh? Wow. Well, I've worked with Mark for 25, so, you know, we're talking about how old we're getting and everything. But, anyway, I've been involved in the program since it basically started, and somehow Mark got, and for Sandra, got us an award from President Bush. You, the board, got an award for our collaboration. I don't know if you all know that, but we have a plaque in the office. They get all kinds of awards. They're just really cool. So the goal of their program is to improve water quality and salmonid habitat. And one of the major components of their program is sediment reduction, as well as fish habitat improvements. And we'll hear all about that from Mark. So our waiver, the covered activities will include road maintenance, emergency road repairs from such things as flood damage, which is very common. We got to address those quickly. We can't wait till all the permits come into place. So we have a program for that to streamline that. And also maintenance of county facilities like bridges and road maintenance yards. So we currently have a draft waiver, and Mark and Sandra and the 5C people have reviewed it. I think, and we're going to, in the next week or so, we're going to go over their comments on the waiver. So that's where we're at right now with the draft waiver, and the waiver is going to include a monitoring and reporting program that will have to be adopted by you, the board. So, and that's going to include annual reporting requirements by the individual counties. As it stands, that's the draft. So the waiver will help meet State Water Resources Control Board non-point source policy requirements, and also existing and future TMDL requirements for sediment and temperature. So almost done. Our timeline. Right now we're working on the draft. We're going to roll that out to the individual counties so they can look at it. We've got to fulfill CEQA requirements, public scoping, public comments, work with the counties to get buy-in and, you know, the whole CEQA process, which is going to take some time. So right now we have a draft. We're working on CEQA. We hope to complete that early summer. And then finish the draft in the summer and then bring it to you, the board, for adoption in the fall. And that's it. Questions? God, I'm thorough.
Andy, I just want to say the beauty of this waiver will be that it's tapping into the 5C program and relying on a lot of the work that's happening today. I'm not sure.
Right. The whole waiver's built on the 5C program, the award-winning 5C program.
I just want to know, how's this relate to the formal certification process? I mean, if this sort of covers certain levels of restoration projects with the waiver, we needed some way of dealing with that better than the formal certification.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I meant to mention that. Projects such as bridges and stream crossings, construction projects, they won't be handled by this waiver. They'll be handled under our Clean Water Act 401, 404 projects, stormwater projects, or other permitting. This is for sediment reduction, road maintenance type activities, and Mark's going to tell you all about that.
And then before we get there, I just want to thank staff, and I think this time, as we start to approach counties and the county road issue, which is another logical step beyond silvicultural roads and nature, I think this is the way of the future, and we'll have to feel and make it work. We may, come up for review, make changes, but I think this is a way to make a lot of use of our staff time very efficiently for the future. So I want to thank you for taking the plunge, because I know we've talked about it for years, and now you're actually doing it.
I think the interesting thing is going to be seeing how the individual counties buy into the program, given all the hard economic times that they're all going through. That's something we need to be aware of. So with that, I'd like to introduce Mr. Lancaster.
I thought you guys were going to be done early today. I guess I welcome to our intimate little location here in Weaverville. I understand it was pretty tight this morning. Mark Lancaster, Director of Five Counties Salmonella Conservation Program. And I will do this as quickly as I can so that you guys can either ask questions or get the heck out of here. It's not snowing right now. I'm sure it's on your minds a little bit. Andy said that Sondra's the nuts and bolts. She's the bolts and the nuts. Anyway, so real quick, I'm going to talk a little bit about the overall program, and then I'll get down to and talk about the waiver some. But I'm also going to, in talking about the waiver, I don't really need to talk about the detailed staff-to-staff level discussions, but kind of more, I think, what will be big policy questions for the boards that I report to and you as a board. So I'll try to remember that. However, I do want to start out by saying the first time I called down to the water board, Gene answered the phone, and what an incredible person. I didn't even met her yet. And, so I couldn't wait to meet her for the first time. And had a couple of executive officers there, and you can't leave. So I just want to acknowledge you before you retire and get out of here. So thank you, Gene. So I'm done.
I'm done. We're good.
The five counties is in, said Humboldt, Martin, Mendocino, Trinity, and Siskiyou, but the products we're talking about today have actually spread and gone further south. The road maintenance manual, the inventory type work has been extended into Central California as well, although we don't manage that particular data set. These counties came together because there was a real crisis for them, which was a second listing. Spotted Owl had some fairly significant economic and social impacts to Northwest California, and the counties didn't want to be kind of behind the curve with the coho listing, and they felt they could create a credible conservation process, and that they had an active stake in the outcome of this federal listing. So they created us, essentially, to be the conservation arm of multiple counties, to be a think tank, a repository, and sort of a guide. And so we cover the SONC ESU, the federal SONC ESU, as well as parts of the various ESUs further south, depending on the species you're looking at. But essentially, we run down to the Russian River north to the Oregon border. We do not incorporate the Russian River. As I said, we began in 1997. The counties agreed to a memorandum of understanding between them that said we will set aside our political boundaries. We will work on watershed-based boundaries. We will dedicate our staff to work with the 5C staff. And they've been very good about making their directors available, directors of public works, transportation, planning, all of those, to work with us as an adjunct staff. That dissolving political boundaries has been really important for us to pursue restoration activities as well as to assess land use practices and those types of activities. But the two things that the boards have asked of us in our role in working with counties is that we come up with a goal that really states counties' interests. And so you'll see our primary goal, which is very clearly, it's an economic and social resource goal that is accomplished by creating effective conservation. You know, it sounds cool, but counties are not there as fish advocacy groups. Their stake in this is to provide for the stability of their community by taking up and tackling conservation and implementation. And I know that for three of the board members, they've heard this before, and the other two haven't, so I apologize. You can go to sleep for a little bit. I'm sorry. Mr. Corbett. So we have a number of major policy elements. I will say that I think about 85% of our funding is devoted to county-related road stuff. I don't know the exact number, but I'd say it's somewhere in there. But the other 15% is actually going to trying to avoid problems rather than to solve existing problems. We work in a policy and regulatory stability, which is exactly what we're here to talk about today, is one element. Give you another example of that. The roads maintenance manual, which is one part of this waiver discussion, NOAA Fisheries in 2007 certified it as an incidental take coverage for coho salmon under the federal law. So we already have incidental take coverage as long as we follow the manual in that area. We work in land use. The other thing the county's office, besides a goal, was that we not do regulations. We not create regulatory processes. So we are about incentive education, training, outreach, and support rather than regulation. So it's kind of funny, here we are today, and the waiver of waste discharge is a form of regulation, which is building upon our program, and that will cause me problems when I go to Siskiyou County. They will ask, you know, how is this not some kind of a backroom deal between the water board and the 5C to create effective regulation? And I'm ready to answer those questions. Our focuses are water quality, and that really ties into a lot of our stormwater and our road sediment reduction processes. But it's not limited to that. Water quantity, this is really an emerging area for us. Water conservation, water use. And we're actually having to rethink our prioritizations as we've we've seen changes in rainfall patterns that are affecting where we're going with projects and how we're accomplishing projects, and that's an emerging area for us. Certainly on the other side of that, we're seeing water rainfall patterns have modified, and I won't go into that, but we've looked at it very closely, and so we now know that rainfall patterns are much different than they were prior to 1973. But equally as important, we're seeing increased water, surface water diversions. So we can look at a project for 4 or 5 years and decide to proceed with it, only to have the stream upstream suddenly dry up. And then, not to point out anything, but we might have a large nutrient flush, a lot of fertilizer coming down after that. And that's having a big impact. We spend $500,000 for a project, and then it doesn't go as planned because something upstream has been modified. And we see enough of that that it's a factor now. Fish passage is an element you guys are generally familiar with, I think, but I'll talk about that. Habitat improvement, which is, I think, in part being tied to that water quality and water quality issue. Outreach and collaboration, we are all about transferring our information, our projects, our processes to other people. In fact, we do a lot of projects and outreach that are intended to get out to other people for them to use. And then monitoring and management. We'll talk about monitoring at some point here. Some of the documents that we've completed, the University of California assessment done in 1998-99, is the guiding document for us. It outlined 13 areas of opportunity within the five counties to improve. One of those was the need for a road maintenance manual, so that the counties had a place to go that was consistent, that guided them. And so that was one thing that was delivered. We have a barrier inventory of a little under 300 county road crossings that are barriers to fish, and we've been knocking those off as the prioritization allows. We've done sediment source inventory in all counties, although we're not done in all counties, and some of them we actually will probably revisit at least a couple of those sites. The road maintenance manual, which kind of going to be a fair amount between the sediment source inventory and the dirt inventory and the road maintenance manual and the low impact hydrology standards, those are all kind of key and part and parcel with the waiver of waste discharge. You're free to interrupt me. So the roads manual is, as I said, it was done, developed between 2000 and 2002 by all of the counties in cooperation with agencies. It develops best management practices, strategies, and direction for county road crews on maintenance. The maintenance in the manual does include projects, includes barriers, includes some things that are not covered under this waiver. But, it did provide, for instance, fish VMPs for dewatering streams and moving fish. It has five major elements in it. The VMPs themselves, the need for permitting, and I will say this, after this manual came on board, four of the five counties ended up hiring a permitting coordinator within the counties to deal with fisheries issues. That does not reflect just our work, but reflected the increased scrutiny being applied by agencies regarding public projects on fisheries streams. So that was a significant area. In the fifth county, we provide some of those consulting services for them as they do their projects. Training is a big one. We put on trainings annually or every other year with road departments with the goal of getting them to simply change practices that reduce sediment and don't cost them, simply modifying the way a practice is done. And then finally, monitoring and reporting. I just want to say monitoring is not necessarily effectiveness monitoring in the stream, but implementation monitoring by the counties and reporting. So we've got 4,700 miles of road, 18,000 culverts, and more than 600 bridges in the counties. These are only county roads, county facilities. Sediment source inventory noted above documented a potential 3.6 million yards of sediment. That's for sites that yield more than 20 yards over a decade. And it is does not ascribe, this does not identify what is low probability of yield or high probability of yield, but we do have that. Well, and we've done 18 specific road drainage sediment improvement projects, as well as 59 barriers, and so the 111 yards treated represents the 18 projects. Overall, it's a higher number when you throw in sediment that's been saved by addressing fish passage at the same time. Fish passage, we've done 59 projects, opened up 137 miles of habitat, and that means opened up because these were the low-hanging fruit. These were the 100% barriers for the most part. There were a few exceptions to that, and I'll just, I don't know where the pointer is. Oh, it does. Yeah. So I just want to show, this is Morrison Gulch, the poster child, if you will, of all of the county's work. This is Humboldt County. There were no fish. This, in 1999 and 2000, we got tired of waiting to get our permits to remove the barrier, because we literally could not. We actually, Humboldt County had the famous, you will go to jail if you fix this culvert, where we fell in the Army Corps. So we physically relocated the fish. We had Ross Taylor, our biologist, trap and move the fish upstream. The project was completed in 2000, and we had an immediate response in 2001, and this is this year's response. And basically, we have one healthy cohort, and then two cohorts that are not nearly as good. But we are, you know, I was looking, we thought we were monitoring, you know, recording the demise of the fish in here. But I'm sure you've heard, ocean conditions are not favorable. And so we do have this one healthy cohort that we've seen there. This is a kind of a typical project design, except that this culvert actually is not badly sized for the crossing. It's undersized, but and we replaced them with full-stream simulation, typically full-stream simulation structures, which has a lot of other benefits besides just passage. We restore bed load, transport, large wood transport, and start to equalize the systems. As I said, we are about getting our information out. We conduct workshops for our road crews, but invariably other entities ask to come and participate. Annually, we put on a BMP training where we pick a BMP or a series of BMPs, and we emphasize those with the counties. Just this last year, Sandra oversaw the development of a sediment video to be a tool for counties and other people to document road-related erosion and the effects of it and some of the possible treatments. We belong to a wide variety of interest groups, committees, things like that, and we will collaborate with almost anyone. To a point. I like that Andy said that we were friends, because it depends on the day and the project. We can advocate, we can argue, we can hold hands. Yeah, it's, one of the things that the program has done is we've taken techniques that are not traditional to road departments and got them to try them and implement them. And so bioengineering is one that really stuck with the counties. We introduced them to a series of roads workshops, to some simple techniques, and then four of the five counties within 6 months were implementing bioengineering projects on their stream banks. Part of that was a result of problems getting permitted to put riprap in. They were really running into problems with riprap, so they were looking for a solution to that problem. And when the bioengineering came along and they saw that the agencies were very favorable to this, they embraced it. And so it's not that it will always be used, but it is now a tool they turn to and say, can I accomplish something with this different type of design? And I really like it because it resulted from training and exposure. Not entirely, but. So elements of our program that are tied into the waiver are the Rosen Annual, the sediment source inventories, the dirt process, the actual track record of projects, and hopefully growing track record of projects. I would say also the barrier projects to some degree, and probably the biggest bang for the lowest amount of money is the training. So those are the elements that are sort of wrapped up into the waiver discussions. So stepping back a little bit, more of a policy-to-policy level between the Board of Supervisors and the Water Board, the counties, as you probably heard, are downstaffing their road departments. And some of them have, Trinity County went from 80 employees to 55, and by the end of 2012, were projected to be 28 employees. And that includes office staff. So, for instance, right now, this county doesn't plow roads on weekends, and some roads don't get plowed at all. They are looking to probably have to contract out almost all of their services. They will probably be down to cleaning curbs and gutters and doing that essential maintenance, and then they'll contract what they can, and what they can't is going to go to the wayside. Siskiyou County is looking at a very similar decline as is Delmar. And what's driving that is the loss of federal funds, and then as California's budget has contracted and monies have been taken away from road departments and even general funds, the counties have had to contract. But they also understand that county infrastructure and its regulated activities are critical to the recovery of the Salmonids, particularly the color, and that they can't walk away from these obligations. So the waiver actually provides a couple of things. First off, for most of the counties, these activities are currently not being regulated anyway. So when we come in and say, hey, we have a waiver for something that you're not having to waive currently, they're saying, what's the benefit of this? But at the exact same time, they're looking at the court decision regarding the forestry and silvicultural roads decision in Oregon. They're talking to road departments who already are in compliance with these requirements in other regions, and they understand that they need to be proactive and get ahead of this. So they have a mixed bag. But I think one of the biggest questions that will come of the discussions here and then with the individual board of supervisors is it's a little balloon. So if we decide we're going to focus on fish passage projects, which are very expensive, and the counties are putting their road dollars into that, other projects are not going to be funded. Same thing if we're going to focus on water quality, road improvement projects, drainage improvement, sediment reduction, other projects are going to probably drop off. To prove there's no easy way to deal with any of this, we have an infrastructure collapse system that is going on in all the counties, and particularly on the coast. We're losing one major crossing a year on a county road to pipes failing. And by major, I mean something from 6 feet to 12 foot in diameter. The counties are aware that they have a degraded system, so they have an interest in finding ways to upgrade that and solve those problems. Humboldt County stands out as the one that understood this the best. In all of the counties, they also have Lee County has the most collapsing infrastructure. So there's a direct relationship there. But they committed and expended millions and millions of their dollars, I mean, to the point where they almost bankrupted the road department on them, to addressing fish passage and undersized crossings. So going forward, there will be, as we talk about waiver and implementation more fisheries and fishing game wants to see more habitat. There's going to be a balancing act that the counties are going to have to do. Having said that, they know they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to figure this out with a claim dollars. And some of them, their reaction is to just hold back and focus on the things they absolutely have to do first. And that's where we're real valuable. We come in and bug them and say, we got to keep working towards this. So these are the areas I suspect, as we start talking about the full implementation of budget declines within the counties, these are the kind of areas that I think are at risk of not being implemented at the rate that we would like. So I expect fish passage structures, because of we typically ask the counties to kick in anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000 per structure from their funds. The roads workshops, as their staffing is reduced, it's getting really hard for them to have the time to send crews to trainings because they're backlogged so tremendously. Same thing with the DMP trainings. It's really hard to get overworked crew guys to sit down at the end of the day and summarize what they did already. And so that's going to be a struggle for us to look at. And them implementing non-traditional techniques, an area that we're really trying to work closely with is elimination of non-native species and or how to deal with minimizing those impacts. And then finally, that the counties are looking at and discussing whether they should even be maintaining federal roads on federal lands, particularly Forest Service lands. And so there is a lot of talk of abandoning, potentially abandoning a large number of county roads back to the Forest Service and getting out of that those mileages. So those are kind of emerging questions and issues. And I just wanted to highlight, this is our barrier implementation rate over the last decade, and next year, or this summer, we're theoretically doing 6 projects. So even as I'm telling you that these things may start to drop off, we're getting a bump this year. Part of that bump is actually due to permitting delays for projects in the past. So we're finally getting permits for projects, and so we're seeing this sort of short-term bump. What keeps the counties at the table, particularly Trinity, Siskiyou, and Del Norte, back in 2001, NOAA Fisheries, in its status review for steelhead for listing as a threatened species, specifically cited a number of activities that they expected over the future to maintain, restore, and enhance steelhead habitat. And I think we've lived up to those expectations in our program. And I think as you look, you know, the Trinity River Restoration has been working on implementing those types of activities as well. So when they go to do their next status review for steelhead, I think we will be able to provide quite a bit of evidence to the record that that steelhead trend is continuing. And by the way, steelhead populations seem to be doing better than the coho population. We get money from anybody. We really could use your money. It's getting more difficult to get funding. It's certainly one of the larger funding sources in the federal level. We're not sure where that'll be in the future. As we take on the waiver, it's going to take a lot of commitment on our time, and actually it's going to take more commitment from the counties. The documentation side of what they're doing and the increased training and implementation side is something that we need to look at closely. I'm not here to ask for money today. I'll do that behind the scenes. We have a lot of partners. We have a lot of partners. And we try to be very appreciative of that. By the way, I glossed over one point, which is up until 2009, we were county employees through Trinity County that operated for all of the counties. In 2009, we left the counties and went to work under a nonprofit. And as a result of that, we've been able to also spread out. We now work with a lot of different entities in a lot of areas. So we're not just counties focused anymore, although that's still the majority of what we do. But we work with CDF, Fish and Game, Caltrans, Fish and Wildlife Service, Redwood Science Lab, all kinds of people to tackle problems that most people don't want to deal with. Basically, what I say is, if it's easy, they're not talking to us. If it sucks, they come to us to work on it. Come on. So with that, I will just say, I'd be happy to answer questions. Oh, one last thing. I heard how good Samantha was at tackling CEQA and heading it off. And because we are a nonprofit anymore, we don't have CEQA lead agency status. And I mean, with that amazing, resounding endorsement earlier, I'm thinking we found our CEQA lead agency partner, and I'm very excited at the prospect of this. So with that, I'm happy to answer questions.
I just was wondering, in regards to the Forest Service / County roads taking Forest Service, I live up the South Fork in the Trinity, South Fork Road, and yeah. It's a perfect spot to live. However, we have a tremendous amount of traffic to Forest Service lands, and they don't contribute in any way to the maintenance of our road. And our road is one of those roads that you just carry a chainsaw in the back of your truck, and my husband brings some blacktop from the jobs that he works on in the back of his truck with filler on potholes, and the county kind of waves ever now and then when they pass through, but I'm sure we'll be maintaining our own road in the future. But I just wondering myself, you know, how does the Forest Service get away with that? They make beautiful maps, they invite people out, they do everything, and then they hand the demise of the infrastructure to the county. They're just taxpayers.
And I don't want to, it's not the Forest Service.
Let me
back up.
That's a rash generalization.
The counties receive 25% in lieu of payment revenues from timber sales through the mid-1990s. That was a fairly good budget. And probably, if anything, the counties had way better roads than they could economically afford to have. When timber industry went down and the federal timber sales declined, Congress created a bill called the Rural Communities and Schools Program, where they fund money to the counties. And that amount of money is less and less.
Wasn't it almost not?
Yeah, well, now it's heading, it could head towards not.
Yeah.
Completely. So it's, you can't blame the Forest Service per se. It's the federal process by which counties are reimbursed. And so Humboldt County and Mendocino County, which have very little federal land, they're having economic problems related to a lot of state funding issues. But they're not as impacted by the federal actions as the congressional actions as Humboldt, Delmar, and Cisco.
Keep maintaining that.
Maybe
I shouldn't have said it like that.
It's not their fault.
It's just interesting to me, though, that it can be marketed and the utilization of things are.
And let me tell you,
they're impacted. Our roads impacted by the amount of people that travel up and down to.
And there is a sort of a link, and I don't want to name names of counties, but not this county, but another county has basically said they're willing to abandon the county maintained miles on Forest Service land because the permitting through the federal processes is becoming so cumbersome that they don't have the staff to deal with it. So it's not just, there's the economic impact, but there's also the interagency interaction impact also. And I think that the way that county goes is the way other counties will. Possibly go. There just isn't enough money to maintain. Luckily, the roads manual anticipated this problem when it was written a long time ago, and it said counties can abandon roads. The practice used to be the Board of Supervisors would abandon the road. They'd put a sign up at the end of the currently maintained section and they'd walk away. In 5, 10, 15 years, there would be giant gullies, rills, culverts would be plugging, and the county had abandoned it. They were done with it. Now we have in the policies, an abandonment of a road requires that it be put into as hydrologically neutral a condition as possible. So they're going to outslope it, they're going to put rolling dips on it, they're at least at a minimum, they're going to put critical dips over pipes. That doesn't mean the pipe won't plug and fail, it just means it'll fail in place rather than divert. So at least I think there's some tools, if we go that route, to minimize those effects.
Because actually, maybe you kind of feed into that. In the inventory of roads in a typical rural county in Northern California, I mean, I just started kind of jotting down what I thought would be kind of, you have your private roads, county roads, development or boundary municipal roads, state and federal highways, and you have Forest Service, which is just the opposite. And I got to believe that somewhat captures a large majority. This program really covers county roads. As a percentage kind of that universe, of whether it be little miles or something like that, do you have any real, even just off the cuff, just order of magnitude percentage of what you're talking about that this manual actually covers in any given time?
Yeah, actually the manual has it in it because it has all the mapped miles, GIS mapped miles. So Trinity County, I think, has 7,000 miles of roads, 715 are county, actually not 713 miles of county roads. So about 10%. Obviously, it's going to change a little bit from county to county, but we have an estimation. I would say overall it's 5% of all the roads, realistically.
And thank you, by the way. And within that, then, prioritization of whether it be, it looks like fish passages is a great prioritization, but how then do you go out as being who your organization is to these counties and say, hey, you know, how do you go through that prioritization, or how do they, in that world of, you know, county roads, then, go out and make intentional decisions about what to work on, how to go about it?
Well, we don't lack a population of high priority immediate needs. So So, to be honest with you, the prioritization occurs by opportunity. So, if a county has, for instance, a federal highways repaving fund, then we're going to ask them to go in and look at the culvert sizing and upgrade the culverts before they repave the road. If there are peculiar funding sources that allow an opportunity in an area, for instance, a lot of our work is done in the range of the Trinity River Restoration Program, because they will partially fund road water quality restoration projects within the 40-mile reach from Lewiston Dam to the North Fork. So they account for about 5% of our total funding. But they provide seed money that we then can go to other grantors in the county's in-kind dollars to do more projects. So if there's Forest Service RAC resource advisory councils are also a funding source for projects. So because we have such a population of opportunity of sites, we then go to where we can get the money. And so there's no grand scheme of this is the single worst place. It's a grand scheme of where can we get money to be effective and implement. And then we have to balance that with the in-kind match the counties can bring, plus the supervision of the sites, because sometimes they just don't have the engineering staff to go out and inspect our sites compared to their other projects. But there's no clean-cut prioritization process. It's opportunity-driven.
The last thing I wanted to do is thank you and your staff for taking us out yesterday. It's always good to see stuff. It's always good to see good work. You know, it's fun to go look at stuff and say, you know, you were kind of verbalizing with that park yesterday about, you know, what the future is going to be for that site and your vision for it. And I think that's exciting. That's always interesting to look at that kind of stuff. And if we get back up this way again, maybe we can go look at that and see what happens.
So, we'll get you a bigger...
Thank you all for taking us out.
We'll get you a bigger meeting hall next time.
We like that. I just wanted to say, just my experiences, there's two very startling things about this program. The first is on the Santa and Passage. Per dollar spent, I think it's gotten the highest return of any program I've seen in California and the nation. So I want everyone to think through. If you don't have much money, this really makes it count. And it makes a lot of sense. If you think about it, you've got a great creek, county made a road, they put in a culvert, takes care of the road, but the fish can't get up. And by putting in the culvert, they can get up. You just get all these miles of stream. Very economic. Second startling thing is, I don't know how he does it, but he can talk to counties and cooperating and improving themselves environmentally better than anybody I've ever seen, and much better than we can do. And so I want to thank you for that, because I think you've lifted five counties, and it's a talent, and we really appreciate it. Make sure you come down and understand.
Thanks, but you should ask your staff what it's like behind the scenes. it's
some things
full.
They don't tell me.
Yeah, they're very good that way.
Martin, with the work that you've done and the training that you do and the manual that you've produced, what we heard earlier today from a lot of folks in the NTNP world, it seems like what is the vehicle for your manual to be out for public access? I know there's other, like the Higgins and Weaver Forest and Ranch roads. Yours probably is a more updated version that takes some of that into consideration, but it branches and covers different topics. But as an available resource for folks to be able to use, is
Everything we have is online at our website. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody wants to download one of our documents, and then if they want to repackage it, and submit it to you, for instance, as the whatever they want to do, they want to repackage it, we'll not only be happy to do that, but we'll be happy to work with them. We'll give them the files. Give you an example, our sediment source inventory dirt. It's written for county roads, and there's a big difference between county roads and private roads.
Absolutely.
But
a lot of the same concepts apply.
A lot of the same concepts. County roads are more limited in a lot of ways. We would not only give them the software, the database to do that, but if we could find the time and staffing, we'd work with them to modify it to match their objectives. So it's out there. I think that this waiver of waste discharge might result in other people taking a new look at what we're doing and maybe seeing if it can fit into their model. And most of these counties don't have grading ordinances. and I have no idea if any of them would be interested in looking at this as one piece of a way to have a non-grading ordinance response. I'm not. I can't. It's, I won't even speculate, but it's possible.
I'm trying to jump to that, but still, what you've done has.
And when you say you, I want you to say you in the quote there. I don't.
That's a quote. That was a your program.
Yeah. I really don't do anything.
The bolts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The bolts.
Anybody else? Thanks.
Take care.
I forgot to mention one thing that Maggie Robinson of the staff and I are working together. I meant to give her credit for that.
Thank you,
Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Consult my agenda, but I believe that was the last thing that we had. Do we have any board member requests for future agenda items?
Yes, I just wanted to get a check-in. I noticed in our